For top quality floors at rock bottom prices, homeowners and pros choose Floor and Decor.
They're incredible in the design center. I tell them what my vision is and I'll come out of there with a real plan.
The design services are free.
The Pro Desk is fabulous. If they save me time, they save me money.
They're going to help you find your products. They're going to help you get in and out of here quickly.
These guys are experts.
I'm a general contractor and this is my store.
Floor and Decor makes my job incredibly easy.
Floor and Decor. For a store near you, visit flooranddecor.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to a special live episode of Tatooine Sons. Tonight is all about Solo's Star Wars story. Join us as we watch the red carpet premiere of this highly anticipated film. And you never know, we might even get a few special guests call in. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family. I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're missing out on some awesome world premieres.
And a live call-in show.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
This could be pretty fun tonight.
Yes, it could be. And of course, you can't have Star Wars without the Darth Father figures. On that note, here's my dad's bow tie Jedi guy.
Yeah, I'm here. I keep waiting for the show to start.
Yeah,
it says it's supposed to be starting. We're waiting for Star Wars.
3 minutes ago.
Is what it says.
Yeah, 3 minutes ago this thing should have started.
So what's going on here, guys? What are we going to do here?
Oh, we're about to do a live call-in broadcast. Podcast while we're watching the red carpet premiere for Solo.
Yeah, I'm just seeing if we can figure out how to get the red carpet premiere to actually start.
Let me see if I can get it.
Well, you guys keep talking. I'll keep playing with it here. It says waiting for Star Wars,
maybe
too. You know, this kind of reminds me a little bit about Star Wars Celebration when you would be in the overflow and you'd be hoping that it would start and they were always late. Do you think they're just late today?
We're talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping it's not a problem.
That would really kind of
suck, stink.
It would.
So, all right. Well, we put out on our Twitter page, sent out to some of our closer friends and supporters, guys on the Commonwealth, as well as some of our Patreon supporters. And we asked them if they would maybe think about calling in. So we've got a couple that might try to call in, they said.
Maybe.
And we're going to ask them questions. I guess I should have post to network, but I didn't post it because. Yeah, it was messed up. So, all right. So why don't you guys talk for a second a little bit about what you hope to see tonight on the Solo red carpet premiere while I work on this.
Maybe a little sneak peek. So, I mean, I know they've been releasing those TV clips. I'm hoping we see a bit more meat, I guess.
Yeah. They haven't given us much.
And that's
stuff to
intentional.
Do on.
That's intentional. Maybe a couple, I mean, I'm sure they'll do this, but a couple of interviews with some of the stars.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll see.
Specifically Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah, I think we'll see Alden Ehrenreich. Hopefully Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Maybe Kira Beckett. Dryden Voss. If they ever start the premiere.
On Star Wars.
So why don't we do this? While we're waiting for the premiere, we're going to ask the four, there's four questions that a Star Wars, or the Star Wars show are asking out on, for videos and things like that to come in. So why don't we see if, there we go. Okay. So let's see if we can find those four questions and we can ask them.
All right.
And I'll get your guys's thunks on this. Let's see your thunks. There we go. It was in this thread. So we'll come up in here. All right. So here it is. So we tweeted out earlier today, since the likelihood of anybody getting on the Star Wars show tonight is slim, we want to you to have the chance to answer the four big questions that they're going to be talking about on the premiere.
Real quick, the first one says, who would be your Millennium Falcon co-pilot? I was looking, you just switched to Twitter real quick, and I saw that they already have released the poll for that. But the live stream isn't up.
Well, the polls are up. The live stream's not. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Okay, so let's see. Maybe I can go to your YouTube. All right, so what about you guys? What do you think about that question? Who would be your Millennium Falcon co-pilot?
Does it have to be animal-esque?
No, I think it just would be your co-pilot.
Either Buster, a.k.a. Turbis. T. Turbis. Or Nate. He'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. You take your brother?
Yeah.
As the dude, huh? Well, that's pretty cool. All right. What about you, BB Nate? What would you do?
I don't know who, not many people that are good co-pilots in Star Wars.
Hey, I'm saying, in Star Wars?
In Star Wars.
Oh, wait, does it have to be in Star Wars?
No, but that's what we put up there, so. All right.
Boba Fett, then, if we're going in Star Wars.
Right. Boba Fett. So you want Boba Fett as co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon? That seems a little bit weird.
Cool. What about you, Dad?
Well, let's see. I'm going to tweet this and see if we can get anybody out there that's talking about this right now. I'm going to ask, is anybody out there able to see the live stream for Solo SWS? All right. Let's see. If I could only take one person as my co-pilot, it would be your mom. Because that would be really fun to fly in the Millennium Falcon with your mom. Because that could be like doing cartwheels and flips and twists and all that kind of stuff. And everybody would absolutely, it would be hilarious because she would be like freaking out.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, if you heard that, she just, she got on their first podcast, I think.
Hi, everybody.
Whoa, mom is joining us for just a second. Well, that was fun. Okay. All right.
Can I call in and ask a question?
Well, yeah, go for it. You can call in right now since you're right here standing with us.
Bring, bring.
Bring, bring. Okay, you're live on Tatooine Suns, a Star Wars podcast. Who is this?
This is Mom.
Hi, Mom. Wow, how cool of you to call in.
Universal Mom.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, so what's on your mind?
What's supposed to be happening right now?
Well, right.
Well, we're supposed to be watching
right
live
now.
Stream.
This is supposed to be the live stream of the Solo red carpet premiere, but apparently they're delayed in getting the live stream up.
What they're wearing.
Like the red carpet, and
the whole deal.
Yeah,
I might watch this.
Yeah, it's like you watched The Last Jedi with us when we did it.
That's true.
So, we didn't do a live stream of it. We video, I think we had some, like, I don't know, we were doing a lot of Twitter stuff. But
it was just mainly live tweeting, I think.
All right, so.
I must have blocked it. Well, thank you for taking my question.
Well, thank you for calling.
Not like we have much of a choice.
And she would definitely be my co-pilot on the Millennium. with that. All right, let's look and see if we can find the net. Oh, I think it's up.
Go.
Here it comes.
Right,
it's coming. Oh, we're
getting
close. You paused it, Nathan. It says pause. You got to hit play. There, okay. It should be. It says momentarily. All right. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're not watching the premiere right now, what just happened was the screen changed and we got all excited.
Wait.
But it does say live stream will begin momentarily. Here it comes. It looks like it's coming. There it comes. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
I can't hear it, though.
I know. We're going to turn it up.
I don't know if it's going through the speakers.
All right. Here we go.
It's not.
Hold on. Hold on. It's
going through the speakers on the TV.
Okay. All right, so they've started the live stream. It's going to be 90 minutes. We're going to finish this podcast before that. I'm going to go over there and see if I can get the sound to change over on that while you two talk. Hey, hold on. Mom is going to guest host Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast for the next couple of minutes.
So, first off, she's all in her Snoke garb. That is a very Snoke-esque outfit. So, Mom.
Hi. What's up?
What's up? Not much. We're
I can't
just trying
hear
to get,
anything.
You're not supposed to hear anything through this. This is just for sound effects and stuff.
Oh.
So you're good. Don't worry about it. So we're trying to get this
show
to work.
Something. It's a red carpet. Her dress is
like Snoke's.
Green. No.
I think that was gold.
That was gold, Mom. No, it looked green.
It was gold. It was
not very attractive.
It's all right.
Can I give my female perspective on the outfit?
Sure.
Sure.
Don't get used to it.
So they're showing a clip right now.
There we go. Wait, no. What's wrong? I'm trying to figure out the sound here because it's playing through the dinky little computer.
Chewie!
As opposed to...
Is that the Chewie, you think?
I don't know.
Actually,
it looks like it.
Chewie is almost dead. That guy? Well, they have a younger guy that plays them now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I know that much.
Hey, you got it down.
Hey, there's a wannabe Leia.
I can barely see it. We are having some technical...
Oh, that is not gold. That is green.
That is gold.
Okay, here we go.
It's going to be the whole... is that a blue or a gold dress phenomenon that went on the internet?
Yeah.
That is green!
Gold.
Well, you're talking to colorblind son, so.
I'm not colorblind.
There you go.
Yay.
Step back.
Hold on,
hold on.
All right, that was riveting, I know. We're trying to get it live screen. The argument over whether or not Andy Gutierrez dresses gold or green, and our colorblind son thinks it looks like a Snoke dress, which is gold, but it's actually very green. It is very green. All right, so they're giving some intro stuff right now. We're not planning on... spending a long time listening to their intros, but if they do any video or anything like that, we're definitely going to be a part of it.
All right.
What were those other questions you want to ask?
All right, so let's get over to those questions now. All right, we're going to do that. We're going to try. Okay, so they just talked about the fact that you can use this hashtag, Solo SWS.
Right.
We're going to be doing that throughout the show tonight. Hold on. There's David Collins.
What's up, Eddie?
He can't hear us, but that's okay.
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Eddie?
Okay, so they're just doing the intros. We're going to be over here. We're going to be over here. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about that. All that kind of stuff going on there. So let's see. Here's the question. So we already answered the first one.
All right.
Which is who would be your co-pilot? Now let's talk about which scoundrel would be the first to join your crew. So, BB Nate, why don't you answer the question? Which scoundrel would be the first to join your crew?
Han Solo, because that's really what the whole thing is.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah, he's the ultimate scoundrel. I agree with that. What about you, Samuel Hutt?
I'm going to...
Who would be your Millennium Falcon co-pilot?
Probably going to go back with Boba, because it's Boba Fett.
He's not really a scoundrel. He's a bounty hunter.
It's the same thing.
All right, so we're going to get that hashtag up.
I just want to go back to that GIF you posted for that question.
Okay.
Love that GIF.
Which GIF is this?
The one for the Han
Solo. Oh, yeah, Han Solo kind of doing the back and forth, sitting in the cantina,
the
head bob. Yeah.
If you're on Twitter, you know where I'm
at. All right. Let's see if we can find that question. We're going to go latest. All right. Okay, so what they're showing on this premiere right now is a giant, I guess, life-size Millennium Falcon that is squarely squeezed between the Dolby Theater and the El Capitan Theater, which, by the way, the El Capitan Theater is exactly where Mark Hamill's star is on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They're showing them putting it together and that type of thing. It looks awesome. They can come ahead and give it, you know, put the cockpit in my living room when they're done, if they'd like. All right. So let's see if we can get that first question. I'm still looking for it. Why don't you guys see, let's see what the next question is. Let me get that answered here.
Come on, dude.
Well, we have a full-size
what new alien are you most excited for? Samuel the Hutt.
New alien. Nate, why don't you go ahead and answer first while I think. How's that?
All right, Nate, new alien you want to see in the Solo movie.
I have no idea about any new aliens.
Really?
I mean, there's the Jon Favreau's character. I can't really think of any other ones, actually.
We got that.
I mean, there's Thurman Scissor Punch. I want to see him because his name is Scissor Punch. So.
Yeah, I'm here.
Scissor Punch. They're showing some clips right now.
I think we've seen all these.
They're having made.
We got to look.
All right, we're listening to this. Hold on.
Okay,
so they're talking about this a new Nissan. Just a commercial for Nissan Rogue. Sammy, you're in charge of the mute button. Okay. All right, so. Yeah. All right. So here's the new, which this is, look at this. They're actually asking this question on Star Wars right now.
What?
So which new alien would you be most excited for? Rio, Therm Scissor Punch, Moloch,
Argus
Six Eyes Panic.
I want to quickly say something else. Moloch, he's Z.
Yeah.
We've seen those types of creatures in Clone Wars.
Have we?
Yeah. They're like, oh, I couldn't tell you what episode they were in, but we've seen that type of characters.
So. Right. Well, I'm voting Argus Six Eyes Panics because he's got six eyes and he says it in his name, and that's cool.
But what about Scissor Punch?
Now, Therm is cool.
Scissor.
People are doing
Punch.
Rio because it's the main character.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody wants to go out of their comfort zone.
All right, so we have to use the hashtag Han Solo, or we're having to use the hashtag Solo Star Wars Story. What are we using here?
We're using Solo SWS.
Solo SWS. All right.
I hope he's not saying anything.
All right.
He's trying to intimidate people.
All right, why don't we listen to Anthony Carboni, see what he says here for a second.
In the galaxy.
What are we talking about?
Hey, I'm Donald Glover, and this is the Millennium Falcon.
Okay, so this is the, if you've seen it, this is the video of him giving a tour of the Falcon.
These are the living quarters. One of my favorite places on the ship. Everything's patent leather. We got the sound system. It's pretty great. You don't want to touch any of this. Up here, we have the guest quarters. Space. Over here, we have one of my favorite places on the ship, food and coffee bar. Make you a drink if you want, you know. This ship has probably never looked better than when Lando kind of had it. Ta-da! When magic happens, we got
the magic
actual Kajak here. It's not easy to get. Listen to some tunes if I want to. But I think the coolest part of this entire ship is in here.
Yeah, he has a cape room, guys.
I heard about that.
I got every cape, okay? I got an everyday cape, sister's wedding cape, intergalactic President's Day cape. This is just if someone gets cold. Okay. I got everything you could probably ever ask for in here. And here, the cockpit. Here we are. The cockpit. We made it. Over here, we have sliders, light-up buttons. But I think the coolest part of the ship has to be the hyperdrive. And you get in the hyperdrive like this.
Oh, yeah. So did you see the lights happen?
Yeah, that's cool.
Pretty awesome.
So it's like an actual practical effect.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's mute it again and keep talking. Let's see what they're going to talk about. We'll leave it off and mute. All right, so, see if we know anybody on here. The fan cam.
Welcome, Mandalore. We'll send you down to Hollywood for the Solo.
Red Carpet Premiere. So they're doing... showing clips of people driving video fan cam stuff. I'm trying to see if there's anybody on here that I recognize from Twitter land on that.
This is where the fun begins.
has a very good feeling about this.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be the line going into this. All right.
Now, people have been voting feverishly on our Twitter, but before we reveal this, the results for who you would want to be your millennial.
All right, so why don't you pause it while they're getting ready to show us the results?
Pause it?
Yeah, or mute it, whatever it is. All right, so what are you most hoping, Samuel the Hutt, what are you most hoping to see happen in the Solo movie coming up here in 2 weeks? Now, for all of you listening, why don't you explain for those of you that may not know this already about what the importance of this event is, the premiere on the, for us, the 24th. What do you think? Sam, what's the importance of it?
It's what I'm doing for my birthday party. We're going to go and we're going to go see the opening night premiere of Solo Star Story.
Not just any opening night, you're right. No. So talk about what that is.
Special, like, fan.
Yeah, it's like the super fan event.
Yeah.
Poster and a bunch of stuff. And it starts at 6 instead of at 7 o'clock. Yeah. All right, here's the answer to the Twitter poll. Which new alien are you most excited for?
Wow, those are some new alien names.
Come on, Twitter punch.
Vote now on Star Wars on Twitter. And we'll bring you the
I thought you were going to tell us.
Okay. Star Wars.
All right. So, Samuel, what are you most looking forward to having happen?
I got to see the Sabacc game where Han finally gets the Falcon.
Okay.
That's what I've got to see.
So you're looking for – so who's this kid?
I don't know. I think they're showing off the suit or something. That's a good
– L3?
L3 is
all right. Yeah, all right, BB Nate, what do you want to see in this movie that's coming up? They're showing trailers now, which we've seen these trailers already. So BB Nate, you tell us, what do you want to most have happen in the Solo movie coming
up? I
want to
see the Kessel Run, really.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah. You guys took the two that are the most critical for me.
Oops. You can say that again.
I mean, I would definitely have always said I wanted to see the Sabacc game where he wins the Falcon. And I've said that the Kessel Run is a big part of what I'm hoping for in this movie as well. So I would say if I can't pick one of those two, if I had to pick a third thing, it would be the moment that Han rescues Chewbacca.
Oof.
And the life debt that is a part of the whole storyline between Han Solo and Chewbacca is established and find out how that happened. Some people think it's that moment when in the trailers we've seen where Chewbacca's falling off the conveyance or whatever that train thing is, and he reaches down and grabs him and saves his life. Some people think that's a life debt. I don't. I think that they're going to save his life.
All right,
this is the Denny's commercial. That's the Six Eyes guy. All right, so that's what we're hoping for. If you're on listening to us live right now and you put it up on Twitter, what do you want to see in this? You can always let us know. Keep switching back over to see if anybody wants to call in. All right, let's see what Andy's getting ready to say.
But Chewie wasn't always a grandmaster. In fact, he first learned the rules of the game thanks to Beckett on board Lando's Falcon. Check it out.
Oh, this is cool.
Thanks. You want to make that move. You want to make that move. Made that move, okay. I guess I'll have to destroy that little guy. Somehow I never get forward before. you can't wipe them off. They're hollow. Hey, Chewie, relax. Hey, try to compose yourself. Look, all you gotta do is think a few moves ahead, anticipate your opponent. There's a lesson to be learned here.
Oh, so he's showing the hollow chest. Beckett is teaching Chewbacca how to play holo chess on the famous holo chess board in the Millennium Falcon. Yeah, I don't care what we're going to call it holo chess. So awesome. Well, it is what it is. So very cool. Okay.
Nice.
All right. So let's kind of move on to the next question here. See if we can find what's this scene. What is this?
I haven't seen this one.
What's your name anyway?
Oh, yeah, this one.
Oh, such good trailers. Here's what, okay, let's pause it or mute it. I'm going to be a little disappointed if the premiere is essentially them showing a bunch of trailers for Solo A Star Wars Story.
Underwhelming.
If they don't start having some interviews here before long with Alden Ehrenreich, Woody Harrelson, Kira, whatever her name is, Emilia Clarke, Phoebe Waller Bridge that plays L3. Yeah, that is a cool scene, though, when he shows Chewbacca his cards, and Chewbacca, like, grunts, like, oh, you're dead.
Oh, crap.
So we're hoping for that. Maybe they're going to switch to that here in a second. They're just showing some stormtroopers on the red carpet. Let's talk about the next question. Who's the galaxy's most fashionable gambler, BB-8?
Oh, well, we got to go for Lando.
Yeah. Everybody's going to go for Lando.
I mean,
that's like an easy question.
Is there any other option?
That girl?
That
mom keeps speaking into this from the background here. Mom says it's that girl.
They have an accent like Raven on the
street. It's called a British accent?
Yes.
That's a country. Is that Ray Park? That's Darth Maul. Okay. So you're thinking Kira is who you're thinking, I think.
I don't know.
She, I don't know. Maybe she
I mean,
is.
But does she have an entire room in her ship devoted to capes? I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, the dresses she wears are pretty flashy and stuff, so I guess let's see if they have that question up, and we'll see if there's an answer to that. So, all right, let's see what Anthony Carboni is doing here.
I have loved the character of Han Solo for generations, but what was Han like before we first met him a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away? Let's find out from the cast and crew of Solo, A Star Wars Story.
The Star Wars universe that we see in Solo was different from anything else that we've seen in any previous Star Wars movies. The Empire controls everything. Everyone is struggling to survive, but we discover this incredibly free spirit. We're meeting Han right before he becomes the Han that we know. You end up getting to see how this guy got to be the way he is. It's all part of the great expansion of the Han Solo world. It's a rite of passage. And it's got the tests he needs to face, the challenges he has to endure to become Han Solo.
You're going to need a nickname because I ain't saying that every time.
I mean, Falcon. With Lando Calrissian. Did you win your ship playing cards?
I like this kid.
They're in this movie. I'm a driver. A great pilot.
He's the most exciting character in the saga for me. You don't know what he's going to do.
I'm a terrible person.
He's reckless.
Stupid things that should never work. And they do.
I'm fine.
Oh my God.
I might be the only person who knows what you really are.
Let's check. All right.
Nice.
Let's keep talking here for the next couple of minutes. So what do you think about Solo in this? Do you think that Alden Ehrenreich is going to pull this off? Let's start with you, BB-8.
It's a difficult concept because Harrison Ford is not going to be Han Solo.
Well, that's
and
true.
It's
for
a new kid
reason.
Off the street.
Basically.
Really. He seems to be good, but we won't know until the movie comes out, so.
Okay, that was
specific.
Really great insight there, BB-8.
Was that sarcastic?
A little bit. Okay, Samuel the Hutt, you. What do you think about Alden Ehrenreich playing Han Solo, and is he going to be able to pull it off?
I'm doubtful. I've been doubtful from the beginning. The more trailers I see, though, the more comfortable I guess I get with seeing him. It's so difficult to get over that because we're so used to seeing Harrison, like Nathan was saying. So it's gonna take time to tell ourselves that Alden Ehrenreich is Han Solo and not Harrison Ford for this movie. But I think he can pull it off, and I'm curious to see where he goes with this.
Do you think that Alden Ehrenreich is going to have to try to sort of play Harrison Ford playing Han Solo, or do you think that he needs to treat him like his own character, follow some of the you know, go down the path that Harrison Ford went down with Han Solo, but not try to mimic Harrison Ford playing him. What do you think about that, guys?
I feel like that he shouldn't need to channel Harrison Ford. He should be able to channel Han Solo if they pick the right actor. If they pick the right actor, he should pretty quickly and easily be able to fall into the role of Han Solo, not fall into the role of someone else falling into the role of Han Solo.
Yeah.
I feel like he needs to be able to pull it off himself with no middlemen for it to be believable.
What about you, BB Nate? What do you think about that? Do you think that he needs to try to pretend to be Harrison Ford playing Han Solo, or do you think he needs to be play it himself? Nobody can hear your head shake.
I agree with Sam. I think he should play Han Solo and not be Harrison Ford, because we all agree that Harrison Ford was a great actor for Han Solo, mm-hmm. but he was falling into the role of Han Solo. And so that's what we need to see for Alden Ehrenreich, is to fall into the role of Han Solo instead of trying to fall into the role of Harrison Ford.
Okay. Now, they had Lawrence Kasdan on that clip just a second ago that they were putting up here on the premiere, that, like, featurette, I think is what they called it, where they're talking about Alden Ehrenreich playing him. You okay? It's all right. You and Nate got a little choked up there. They started playing the solo trailer again. And he's he got all choked up. I don't think it's because of that, but that's okay. I read today that Lawrence Kasdan and the let me back up. There's some new information that's come out that George Lucas. Okay, let's. Hold on. We're gonna stop because this is Jonas, and I can't remember his last name. That plays Chewbacca.
Holy crap! It's Paul.
Chewbacca. What's up, man?
It's a good day.
It's a very good day. Let me ask you something. Are you wearing yours? Because I'm wearing mine.
I forgot. I'm sorry. The baby was crying and it was a mess, so I forgot. Sorry.
Well, I'm repping. I'm repping for you tonight.
Are we repping?
So let me ask you.
We're talking about footwear, I think.
You've obviously played Chewbacca before, but this is a totally new era in Chewbacca's life. How did you think about it differently than the way you played him in the past?
Well, I just approached it as another adventure happening in a different time in Chewbacca's life. And it was interesting to approach this time when Chewbacca doesn't know Han. He doesn't know all these people, and he's looking. He's in a really bad spot, and he's looking for a way out. And I can't wait to see how it unfolds on the screen.
I'm so excited. I have to know, when the script is written, lines are written for Chewbacca. How do you handle that on set? What's the process like?
We're wondering about
As I've said before. I just kind of take those lines and transform them into my best Wookiee, meaning that if the line says, don't go there, Chewbacca will say, don't go there. And that's...
All right. Certainly hope not. Okay.
Yeah. That you are obviously in costume the entire time, Chewbacca, but you're also a very tall man. Do you get recognized a lot?
Not so much. I mean, it's one of the blessings of the role, I think, is I can walk free. But because it's also my mission when I play Chewie is to play and appear like the legendary Peter Mayhew. You see, I'm a Star Wars fan first, and I want Chewbacca to be the same from movie to movie, including the original. So, if I don't get recognized, I've done my job well.
So, would you say, is that the most important thing to remember while playing Chewbacca, or is there something that you always try to keep in mind when you're Chewie?
I think I'm just trying to have fun, and my love for Star Wars has never been greater than when I'm seeing Solo, a Star Wars story tonight.
Oh my gosh, man, it is so exciting! We're all excited to see it as well. It is so wonderful to see you again, sir. Jonas Suosimo, everybody.
Woo! Yeah, I can't pronounce his name, Suosimo, but he's so cool.
Yeah, it is
so
cool.
Much,
and freakishly tall.
Oh, we have more from the Solo, a Star Wars story red carpet coming up.
All right, let's mute it and talk a little bit here. We're going to have a caller, I think, in just a second. That's going to be from the Nerd Room. He's looking like he's trying to one of our Star Wars Commonwealth fellow podcasters.
Hey, what's up?
So we'll have him on here in a little bit. So information just came out today that I don't know if you guys heard because you guys have school and other things, and I was sitting at my desk and I saw this on Twitter, so I thought I'd share it. Apparently, before George Lucas sold, you guys pay attention to me, not crazy guy in a jacket. Before George Lucas sold Lucasfilm to Disney,
mm-hmm.
he was working on a young Han Solo script.
Really?
For a movie with Lawrence Kasdan. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that George Lucas's fingerprints are going to be on Solo, A Star Wars Story? BB Nate, you go first.
No.
You don't think so?
Really?
I mean, there may be little traces of it now and then, but we saw how the prequels went through. yes, it's Lawrence Kasdan, but I think they may try to go with it too much, and that's why they had to fire Lord and Miller.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. I'll address that in a second. What about you, Sam?
Well, I mean, there's got to be some fingerprint. I mean, you're using his characters, so...
Well, yeah, but beyond that.
I mean, I know what you mean. I mean, I don't know. That's really tough to say, because what if they changed it after the whole Lord Miller thing? What if they completely went against what they were originally going to do? I mean, are there going to be a couple of little things? Maybe. But I honestly, I just don't know.
Well, here's more to the story. So apparently in the same story, it talks about the fact that the reason Lord Miller got fired was because they were openly feuding with Lawrence Kasdan during the making.
Openly feuding?
Like there was like they hated each other.
Okay.
And Kasdan was the reason they got fired. So if Lord Miller were going away from what Kasdan wanted, and that's why they got fired, does that change your thought process on whether or not, if Kasdan had already been writing a script for a young Solo movie with George Lucas, that George Lucas's version of the story is going to be a part of this as well? What do you think about that, Sam?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely think that since you've said that there will be more of an imprint on George. I don't think it's going to be like a prequels imprint where it's just going to be ridiculous, because from what I'm seeing, it looks fine. But yeah, I mean, there may be a couple little, I think it'd just be in the way that Han Solo carries himself and acts. I think that's where his imprint would be the most prevalent. Beyond that, I don't know if it'd be necessarily the story, more just on how to portray the characters.
Okay. BB Nate, based on that information, what do you think now?
I still think that Lawrence Kasdan, yes, he's a great scriptwriter, and yes...
Well, he's an amazing scriptwriter. He wrote Empire Strikes Back, he wrote Return of the Jedi, and he helped write Force Awakens. Three of the biggest Star Wars movies of all time.
Yes, I'm saying that he's great, and he is in his prime, maybe still, mm-hmm. but he may have written that script and came back to it and seen that he didn't like it now with the characters that they got, with the cast members that they got and how they acted normally to fit into the character of Han. So he may have feuded with them because they were trying to go with what he wrote earlier, but they just may not want.
I think that's a stretch, BB Nate. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay,
I think that's a bit of a stretch, all right? Here's what I think. Is that Billy Lord?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's the actor you should be.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm convinced that the problem with George Lucas and the prequels wasn't his stories.
No.
George Lucas's stories are great. George Lucas's dialogue is not great. And George Lucas's CGI and all that stuff that's going on is not great. Okay, we've got a little fire. My wife is burning our chicken. She's grilling in the foil. Okay, so anyway, we're on fire out there. So
we're on fire.
It's a hot night out here in California, apparently. So no, they're not going to be worried. It's outside. So we're fine. I think that George Lucas influenced Kasdan on the story. Kasdan's favorite character is Han Solo. I think that's the way it's going to be. Let's see who these guys are that they're getting ready to interview.
Absolutely amazing. I am joined on the stage with by Solo, a Star Wars Story VFX supervisor and
and new ILM president. Hey!
Whoa, ILM president.
And Pat Tubach. So guys, this movie is absolutely beautiful. I mean, every clip that I've seen so far just has such an incredible new, fresh vibe to it. Was there any shot that you worked on for like months and months and months and it goes by in a second you're just like,
That's kind of all the shots, isn't it, Pat? I mean, pretty much every one of those shots has so many hours of artists just putting their heart and souls into it. Because you look at that opening sequence and we're looking down on the city of Corellia and you see all those buildings. Every one of those buildings was handmade by one of the artists at Industrial Light Magic. And you may only get to see it for a few seconds in the film, but you're going to really hopefully get the sense of the massive spectacle that is a big Star Wars film. And I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a lot in this movie for the fans. And I think the whole end of the movie, which is going to really surprise people, I think that that's something we've been waiting to do for a really, really long time, is just being able to actually creatively get to, you know, express that kind of art on the screen and be able to bring that out for the fans is great. I think everybody's really going to love it.
I mean, there's nobody better than ILM to make something like this, so it's just absolutely incredible. Now, you created fully rendered scenes to play out on LED panels that were surrounding the cockpit of the Falcon while the actors were inside it. Can you talk a little bit more about that process? Because it's insane.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments of the whole entire making of this film was we had made this 30-foot tall screen that wrapped around the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, and we had the stars on there, and all the actors went into the cockpit, and it was like riding a simulator ride. It's like riding a ride at Disneyland. And then when Donald and Phoebe pushed the hyperspace lovers forward, we actually put them in hyperspace, wrapped them around with hyperspace around them. So after the scene was over, and the actors freaked out the first time because we kind of surprised them.
Okay, good, because I'm like, there's no way I would be able to sit there and like not lose my cool if that happened. But I'm glad to know that that's normal.
Yeah, they kind of lost their cool. And then after it got quiet, I was listening on my headphones because I was just off stage standing next to Ron Howard. And Donald Glover, who might be the coolest guy on set, right, is kind of definitely the coolest guy on set. He goes real quietly, he goes, "This is the coolest thing I have ever done."
All right, let's mute this. We've got a caller, so we're going to go ahead and switch that over. Why don't you mute them, and let's put them on their hold time. Let's get them on the call. Mute, screen, live. All right, you are on Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. Who is this?
What's going on, boys? It's Tim from the Nerd Room Podcast.
Hello. Technical difficulties here, maybe? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Ah, there we go. We can hear you. Who is this?
What's going on? It's Tim from the Nerd Room Podcast, boys.
This is Tim. Hi. Tim is not only a fellow podcaster with the Star Wars Commonwealth, but Tim is also a Patreon supporter.
What
is it? This is not the perfect first guest, right, that we've had on the show like this. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm pretty stoked to be talking to you guys live here.
Oh man, I'm excited too. Now, are you watching the Solo premiere right now as along with us?
I am definitely. I'm quite enjoying it. I'm trying to avoid spoilers here. There's a lot of trailers, but I'm dodging those and catching the red carpet right now.
Yeah, so now they just got done interviewing a couple of guys from ILM, and they said, now we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet because we were watching this when you called in here. So you get to be the first to answer this question. Did you hear what he said about the ending being a real surprise, a shocker? Yeah. Did you hear him say that?
No, I did miss that. Oh. I didn't catch that from them. I must have skipped over that while I was trying to get in here. But
yeah,
so they say it's a
right
shocker.
There.
Are they talking about is it a cliffhanger or is it quite surprising, do you think? Do you think it's like a – I don't really know what they could do here as far as a shocker. Then that's maybe one of the most exciting things about this movie is I think going into it, we all think we know what's going to happen because we kind of know the end of the story. But
well, here's what,
to throw a curveball in here, I think it's pretty exciting.
It is exciting. He basically went out there and said that the ending is something that is really going to surprise the fans, and it's been something that they have been waiting to do for a long time. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, like when you say stuff like that, I immediately think of big cliffhangers, but we know where this sits in Star Wars era. Could it be, you know, just revealing how the Millennium Falcon got to be as it is when we see it in Episode 4?
That's a great point. That's a really good point.
I have a theory on that, though.
All right, here's Samuel Hess got a theory.
I mean, I'm not sure this would be the end thing because it's not very exciting, but my theory as to why the Falcon is so beat up in episode 4 is that maybe they needed to disguise it and make it look a little bit more rough for a job because maybe to show that they don't have a high status or whatever, so maybe they had to take the Falcon and they had to just rough it up a lot. I mean, that's maybe why you see the scene with Lando staring off and something's like flashing.
Okay.
Maybe they're doing sparks to cut off that front part of the Falcon, make it look a little more rough it up a bit for the job, maybe.
Now, I think I remember in one of the clips that the Millennium Falcon at the end, they've shown does have that centerpiece taken out, and it's a different fork. Have you seen that clip, Tim?
Yeah, it wasn't quite the clip I saw, but I think it was on the side of some sort of promo art or a toy or something like that. I have seen it without the front forks there on it.
BB Nate, what do you think could be the big surprise there at the end?
Well, I'm not quite sure about that, but we did hear that Alden kind of spoiled that he did sign for 3 other movies.
Yeah, but they've kind of walked that back and made that pretty clear that he's just like Felicity Jones signed for 3 movies. She's not coming back because
I mean, unless she came back in the younger Jenny.
Maybe in the Avengers movie when they turn back time and everybody else comes back, but not in the Star Wars movie. So okay. Well, here's my thing. I think that I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm not sure the context, but I am becoming more and more convinced that Boba Fett's coming back.
Oh.
What do you think about that, Tim? Do you think that we're going to see Boba Fett in this movie?
I think that they really can't have at least a cameo of Boba Fett. Now, are they going to use the Boba Fett as a tease for Solo Part 2? Is there enough story to tell for this character? Are they going to stick to the standalones? I don't know, but I have to agree. I don't think they can do this movie without having some sort of reference or cameo, larger cameo of Boba Fett. You know, they've teased all these big elements. We're going to reveal the Chewie, how him and Chewie got together. We're going to reveal Lando, the Millennium Falcon, the Kessel Run. One of the big outstanding things is Boba Fett. So that could be something they're holding back. I don't disagree with that.
I'm really excited about that idea of seeing that moment when Han and Chewbacca connect for the first time and what this whole life debt is about. There was such a story behind that in the Legends universe that's been set aside now. And I think we're going to see that. You expect to see what that life debt is all about in this one, Tim?
Oh, yeah. I think we have to see it because for you to buy the relationship that they're likely going to have in this film and even into episode 4 all the way to the end in episode 7 there with this death of Solo, you have to buy in the few moments that they're going to give to this story. You have to buy that relationship and that emotional attachment. Otherwise, it's going to feel weird for the rest of the movie. So I think we're going to get a real big moment with Chewie and Han at some point right at the start of this film. And it's got to crush us. It's got to make us feel. And it's got to be big enough for Chewbacca to leave his family or leave his compatriots that are in the trenches with him.
All right, so here's Paul Bettany. We're going to go ahead and start feeding the audio in here. And there's going to be an interview with Paul Bettany.
There's the Millennium Falcon. And it's unbelievable. You're all here and we're going to see Star Wars. Unbelievable.
Now, you have said before that Star Wars kind of changed your entire world when you were a kid. Was there a moment for you on set where you were kind of like, oh, man, six-year-old Paul Bettany needs to see this?
Oh yeah, I mean it was every moment. My first day on set, I walked down a spiral staircase, and an R2 unit went by with champagne flutes on his head, and I went, oh my God, I'm in Star Wars. It was amazing.
And Dryden, speaking of the R2 with champagne flutes on his head, we have seen the underworld in Star Wars before, but Dryden feels like he's coming from a much more opulent place. Why is Dryden surrounded by so much class when Jabba is surrounded by, say, like, frogs and jars?
Dryden's just really good at being a gangster. He's really good at being bad, you know.
You hear him trying to be really careful what he's saying right now?
Godfather. So, That's why.
The Godfather. So what does it take to kind of bring a villain to life, or what is kind of the central thing that you think kind of makes Dryden such a bad dude that makes him the godfather?
You know, I think the really lovely thing about being able to do these standalone movies is that they're not encumbered by the same set of responsibilities that the main franchise is, and there's, you know, we can be slightly more playful with the bad guy, and he just really enjoys being a bad dude.
I love it. Now, between Dryden and The Vision, I feel like over the last 5 years, you spend maybe like 60% of your life in makeup chairs. What do you do with all that time? Are you like, do you knit? Is it Sudoku? What are you doing in the chair?
All right, let's mute him because he's not talking about anything in Star Wars right now. All right, so Tim, what do you think about Dryden Voss and Paul Bettany's character? What are you hoping to see from that?
Well, first of all, I love the actor. I love Paul Bettany here. You know, Vision, he was awesome in Infinity War, Civil War, and all that. And him taking this turn here, this is a type of character we haven't seen him portray before. And the idea that he's kind of this upper-class gangster, kind of the underbelly of the Star Wars we're going to get another different peek into, I'm excited for this character. I'm excited to see what Paul Bettany does. I'm excited to see how he kind of brings together the whole crew and what this big MacGuffin is that they're going to be chasing in this film. So I'm super stoked to see what he can do here.
What were your thoughts on the fact that he had to come in and basically replace Michael B. Johnson in this movie? And it sounds to me like his character is very different than what they had under the Lord and Miller directors with this. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it was Michael K. Williams, I believe.
I'm sorry, I got confused.
Yeah. Michael B. Jordan, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Michael K. Williams seems to be one of the casualties of these massive reshoots, and he's a fantastic actor, and hopefully they can find a place for him somewhere else in the Star Wars universe. But to have him replaced by someone like Dryden Voss, or this character Dryden Voss, played by Paul Bettany, you know, it's another great actor coming in here, and I think, I'm not sure how much the story is actually going to change, or if we'll ever actually find that out, because I believe Michael K. Williams' character was supposed to be a bit more of like a feline type, more less human and more alien. And so I don't know. They're going to be, I think, two completely different characters. But at the end of the day, if they had to get a character in here to be kind of that villain for Han Solo and his crew that isn't the Empire, that's one thing I'm excited about. Is they got a villain here that isn't particularly the Empire. They're going to be in the background kind of driving the narrative. But having the focal point being Paul Bettany's Dryden Voss, you know, we're never going to know the difference, but I'm excited still to see a different type of villain in Star Wars.
That's awesome. Well, before we let you go, BB Nate, I want you to ask him one of the four questions that they're asking on Twitter today. Why don't you ask this one here and get Tim to answer this one for us.
Who's the galaxy's most fashionable gambler?
The four choices that they
offer. Tim, did you hear that?
Sorry, no, who's the most fashionable gambler?
Yeah, this is one of the questions that the Star Wars show is asking tonight on Twitter regarding this. So who's the galaxy's most fashionable gambler, in your opinion?
I got to say, I'm not sure if this is even on their list, but it's got to be my dude Lando Calrissian, Donald Glover. This guy looks incredible.
On the Star Wars red carpet premiere, the only four choices that they have for this question is Lando.
Hey, Lando.
Brilliant. Got
it's going to be Lando.
Of course
yeah.
it is. Of course it is.
So I haven't watched it yet, but did you watch the Saturday Night Live bits with him this weekend? I haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, I did. He is absolutely fantastic. And if you can catch his new music video, This Is America, really good too.
Really?
Very, very
awesome.
Timely, very political, kind of really hits that. Very different tone than a Star Wars film. So I'm surprised that Disney let him put it out. But nonetheless, he's an artist. And I'm excited to see what he does in this film. He's probably the thing I'm most excited for.
Really? So Lando's what you're hoping for the most, is what you think?
Yeah, it's Donald Glover. I think he's got a real potential to steal the show here and really endear us to this younger character, this somewhat of a new, but slightly different take on Han Solo. He needs us to buy that he is Han Solo and not just an actor portraying Harrison Ford portraying Han Solo. But in all that, right now, what's driving me is Lando. You know, I want to see the Solo story, but Donald Glover playing this character, he looks suave. He looks like the most fashionable gambler in the galaxy. This guy is smooth as silk. I'm really looking forward to his portrayal.
Are you worried that maybe the hype regarding Donald Glover playing Lando in this movie might get too big before this thing actually comes out?
Oh, yeah. I've burned myself many of times walking into a movie overly hyped. So yeah, that is a worry of mine. But, you know, everything that Glover's done lately, he's absolutely killed, whether it's music, TV, film. So I have the utmost faith in this character and what they're going to do with him. I hope he's just not – he seems like he's going to be a big part of the movie, but I'm hoping that we just haven't seen all of his bits and he's just in a much larger cameo role. I don't think that's the case, but that's a little thing I'm worried about. But overall, I'm looking forward to what they do with here. It's going to be awesome. So I got one question for you guys. All three.
Go for it, man.
What are you guys looking forward to most in Solo, A Star Wars Story?
All right, so we'll go ahead. I'm going to let BB Nate go first.
Well, you said it yourself, Donald Glover. I'm really excited to see him play how Lando is. I think he could be really good, do a really good job as Lando, because by the little featurette that they played here, he seemed to fit the part pretty well, just playing as his normal self. So
the cape room and the and the mini bar
and the captain's quarters and guest bed.
Yeah, this is where the magic happens. Yeah, that's cool. What about you, Samuel?
If they're going to do this, which I'm sure they will, I'm so excited to see the Sabacc game where he gets the Falcon. I mean, I love cards and stuff, so to see a card game in Star Wars is, like, perfect. So I'm really excited to see that.
I'm trying to remember, Tim, maybe you can help me with this. Did they talk about the Sabacc game in the actual original trilogy movies, or was that something that was a sort of EU that has taken firm root up to this point?
You know, I'm right there with you a little bit. I can't remember if that's something that is part of the extended universe or not. I've kind of got little blurred lines there.
All right. We're gonna let you go because our guy, Dave Filoni, is getting ready to get interviewed. So we're going to let this go. Thank you so much for calling in, Tim.
All right, boys. You have a good night. We'll be talking to you soon. Enjoy. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I clicked it.
Thank you. I can't say anything about it. I'm really excited about it. I think the team is doing a great job.
So he's talking about the new animated series right now.
We've done look-wise. It really harkens back to a lot of the animation I grew up watching look-wise and style-wise. And, you know, I think Justin, Athena, and Brandon have done a great job bringing it to life. So I'm really excited for everyone to see what they're doing.
Yeah, the art style is absolutely beautiful. And it's just such a testament to the team and the kind of work that Lucasfilm puts out all the time. Now, you were, you're one of the prominent creatives within the company. Did you have a lot of say, or did you work on any of the development of Solo in particular?
You know, and I really can't tell you anything about that. This is a boring interview, but we're moments away.
You're killing me, Dave.
Fun stuff. Why hear me describe it? It's not a. I just want to talk to you. We could talk about Star Wars. We could talk about many things, you know, but just not what I'm involved in work-wise right now.
All right, fine, bye.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, I'm really excited about Solo. There's a lot of really neat styles and new looks that are coming out of the Star Wars content these days, and I'm really excited about Solo because it has this really, like, fast 70s feel. Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to seeing tonight?
I'm excited about many things, and I'm excited to see all the fans here. I love the way they come, the way they're dressed. Look at the helmets. Look at the Mandalorian helmets. I love that. I love
Dave is such a fan of the fans. It's so cool.
I mean,
the L3, I mean, there's a Wolfpack. That's what I love when I come here. It's not just a movie for me. It's the whole experience of being here with the people that love Star Wars the most. I got Lando looking at me powerfully right there. Look at that, Lando.
I know, this whole thing can be very intimidating, but when you show up and you see all these familiar faces, you see your friends and your family out in the crowd.
It's great. The movie starts when you get here. I feel like I'm in the movie now because of these guys.
Well, I'll let you go down and say hi to everybody because I know that they want to say hi to you. And there will be more for the red carpet of Solo, The Star Wars Story in just a moment.
All right.
I've got to agree with Dave. So, Star Wars isn't just the movies. It's the experience with the fans. I mean, that's what really makes it. I mean, that was all Celebration. While the majority of our time at Celebration was waiting in lines, it was worth it because we were hanging out with fans, which is the Star Wars experience. So I got to totally agree with Dave there.
Yeah, that's awesome. What did you think about what he had to say about the animated series, BB Nate?
Oh, well,
he didn't say much. But
he didn't say very much, but he did say it was like the animation styles when he was a kid. And
what do you think he means by that?
Well, we did hear that it was anime style inspired. So I'm wondering if it's going to look like the old Transformers.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That was a great.
I mean, a little bit better with new technology, but
that's
like the original Transformers series.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd be okay with that.
That would be cool. That'd be really cool. I mean, better, more polished, obviously, but.
Here's what's awesome right now, too, is you can see on the video, if you're watching it, Dave Filoni's out there. He's just mingling with fans. We got a chance to connect with Dave Filoni at Star Wars Celebration. You guys have a picture with him.
He didn't seem too happy to meet with us.
He was tired.
Tired and had to get to the panel, too.
So, yeah, but it was pretty awesome. He stopped, and he was really cool about things, even though he was tired. So that's awesome. Well, that was cool. We got to have Tim on the show with that. What did you think, Sam, about that idea that the ending could be shocking?
I don't know. I mean, they said they've been really wanting to show this for a while. Why? What if it's the Kessel Run at the end? What if the end of the movie?
Well, no,
the Kessel Run?
I don't think that's possible. How spoiled do you want to be? Solo.
No, I don't want to be spoiled.
Soundtrack list.
No, don't do that.
Because if you look at,
I haven't seen this spot. Oh, this looks cool. It's all a card game. All
right,
anyway.
What is this we're watching? This is the Sabacc game.
Yeah, do you want me to rewind it?
No, we'll have to watch it afterwards. Okay. So this is the list of the tracks. Do you want to see this? This is the track. So you've got The Adventures of Han is the opening. So that's Han Solo's theme, I think. It says music composed and conducted by John Williams, which I know is exciting for you. And then it moves to... Meet Han, Corellia Chase. There's Peter Mayhew on the screen, by the way. He's been tweeting about this. Let's see who's this dude.
No clue.
No dude. No clue.
It'll pop up in a second. Yeah. John Powell.
Who's that? The composer. Okay, we're actually talking about this. So while they interview the composer of the soundtrack, let's talk about the soundtrack. The opening of it is The Adventures of Han. Then you have Meet Han, Corellia Chase. So we know what that is. The Corellia Chase is that scene with the speeder and the Sabacc dice and Kira. Spaceport, and then you go right to Flying with Chewie and the train heist. So the train heist is obviously in the first act of this movie. It's not the end of the movie. Then you go Marauders Arrive, Chicken in the Pot. I'm not sure what that...
That sounds
excellent.
Oh, it better not be Turbis. I'd be very disappointed by that. Chicken in the Pot, Is This Seat Taken? So I think that's the scene where Chewie moves into the cockpit, into the seat. L3 and the Millennium Falcon, Lando's Closet. Maybe Is This Seat Taken is the Sabacc game, actually. Because Lando's Closet, Mind Mission, Breakout, Good Guy, Reminiscence Therapy, Into the Maw.
That's got to be the...
Well, that's definitely the Kessel Run.
Or that weird cloud.
Yeah, well, that is the Maw. We know that. Sovereign Standoff. Sovereign Standoff. That's Kessel Run. Good thing you were listening. Testing Allegiance and Dice and Rolls.
Well, that's to say that that's not also not out of order. Or
no, it's yeah, well, I doubt
or,
that.
Or just name. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna. Yeah, I think that I don't know. I don't know. I just have to figure out what they're gonna do at the end. I mean, now he's gonna have us all worked up about it. What if it's like super underwhelming? Now I got that to worry about.
Well, I think it's gonna be. I think we're going to find this movie is going to be amazing. Here's another thing that's getting ready to happen. It's 14 days. It's 2 weeks from tonight that we'll be in the theater watching the movie start as we speak. 14 days from right this second.
Are they going to have trailers?
Oh, yeah. They'll have trailers. The trailers are going to be running. We're going to be in our recliner seats with your eight people for your party watching this for your birthday party. But they are doing the premiere 2 weeks in advance. And... they're releasing the reviews in 4 days. In 4 days. So that means 10 days before the movie, reviews are going to start coming out.
Spoiled?
I think that they'll talk about whether or not there's spoilers on the reviews. I'm hoping that we don't get spoiled. But the point I'm making is this. They are releasing the reviews over a week before this movie comes out. That's even earlier than they did before The Last Jedi.
Jeez.
Why do you think that they're letting that happen if they don't think that this is an amazing movie? Remember what happened with Justice League. Hold on. Justice League, if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with what we're talking about, they put an embargo on Justice League, did not let the reviews come out to like 24 hours before. They made them hold that off because they wanted to avoid the information about how bad that movie was disappointing, that's a better word, that how disappointing that movie was, Get Out. They're letting this get out 10 days earlier. What do you think that they expect to happen with these reviews?
I think they may think that it's not going to go well if for the Justice League. But with this, they're expecting...
Oh, Justice League, they didn't think it was going to go well. Okay.
That's why, and Warner Brothers did own Rotten Tomatoes, and so they held it back on Rotten Tomatoes especially. But with this, they're going to be seeing it everywhere 4 days after this premiere right now. And so that's 10 days till we'll be in the theater probably. And so there's...
There's the Lando vote. I guess Lando's going to win the most fashionable gambler in the galaxy.
I don't know. It seemed pretty tight that show.
Yeah, I think they're expecting it to be good, but they did release Last Jedi in days.
The Kazans.
Oh.
Let's get this going here. Kazans are getting ready to go on there. Let's go ahead and listen to Lawrence Kazan and John Kazan.
This is so wonderful. You know, you've talked about all of the inspirations behind the film, everything from the Big Lebowski to Treasure Island. How do you weave all of those things together into one story?
Well, we just look. What would be fun?
Yeah.
That's all we were looking for. What would be a fun journey to take on us?
Yeah, we try to find moments that have delighted us in books and movies, and we think, how can we steal those for our movie and get all that fun and all that pleasure that comes with Star Wars 2?
Yeah.
And you said, Lawrence, that this Han movie is one that you have wanted to write for a while. Why was it that you wanted to do this Han movie?
I wanted to do a Star Wars movie about my favorite character. And I also wanted to do one that had a kind of story that we hadn't seen ever before, where you had to invest in the characters in a certain kind of way, follow the details of the plot in a certain kind of way. I thought we were able to do that.
What's the one thing that you kind of have to nail, do you think, about a Han story? What's the one quality that has to be in there?
There's so many, but if the word came to mind, it would be swagger.
Yes,
got the swagger, and nobody's got it like him. So
don't tell me they didn't feed that question to him ahead of time, because the way he answered that question was so scripted.
So, what is it like for you writing a movie together as father and son, writing your first movie together?
It was interesting, as you'd think, but mostly total fun.
We were a lot of laughs.
Yeah, we were working on something we both really liked, and it was great for me. You know, the story, the saga is about generations, and here I get to work with my son.
Cool.
Yeah, and we worked in the same house that I grew up in and played with Star Wars toys on the floor of the room. And 25 years later, here we are. So it's very cool.
That's cool.
Unbelievable. We are so excited to see it, Jonathan.
That was pretty awesome.
So
let's be, you know, isn't it cool, guys? We're sitting here right now in our living room, a father and two sons, talking about Star Wars that has been generational for us. I grew up with Star Wars. I grew up loving the show. You guys are growing up loving the show. And now we watch a father and a son that got to write a solo movie. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think it's pretty cool because I don't think that John, the kid, didn't even know that he was going to be able to write a Star Wars movie.
There's no way how he could predict that.
I mean,
yeah.
It was like, it must have been cool to feel like, oh my gosh, my dad is a writer for the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he couldn't have predicted to be writing solo a Star Wars story with his dad where he grew up admiring his father for writing it, and now he's being able to write it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Right now they're showing the new Enfys Nest clip.
You haven't seen this one?
I have seen this clip. It came out on social media today.
I love it.
Did you watch it too,
yeah.
Sam? What about you?
I love it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the fork.
Well, here's one thing that we found from that clip is that Kira, one of the theories has been, since we found out that Enfys Nest was a woman, was female, one of the theories has been that Kira was actually going to be Enfys Nest. What we can see in this scene is that that's not the case. So who do you think?
George.
There's Uncle George and Ron Howard. Isn't that awesome? Ron Howard got his start directing because of George Lucas, and now they're together at the premiere.
That's cool. I think they're about to get up to interview.
Oh, let's do it. All right, here we got an interview with Ron Howard.
Maybe.
Nope.
They're going to play clips first.
Boo. Okay,
well, this is the new TV
talk. Is that? What?
All right, people, do not think goodbye. What's the problem?
Don't listen to
him.
Solo, a
Star Wars story. PG-13.
All right, I think we're going to go back to Ron Howard here.
It's getting close.
Oh, here we go.
We are graced now by the director of Solo, a Star Wars story. I'm so, like, flustered. Ron Howard, guys. Welcome, Ron Howard.
Yay!
You're no stranger to working with Lucasfilm, but it was never like this before.
No, this is showmanship at its best, and you know, but it's what Star Wars fans deserve, this kind of excitement. But I'm also really glad that, you know, we worked very hard to make this release date. It was a big challenge, but the movie was not compromised one bit, and I'm so glad because it really feels like it's a summer movie to me, and so I'm really glad that, you know, it's happening now, and here we are.
It looks so fun. It's so beautiful. And you've directed so many different types of movies in the past 40 years. It's Star Wars, like, a different beast entirely?
It's its own combination of these entertainment values that we as fans love. And I didn't realize all the different ways that a Star Wars movie excites you, entertains you, and transports you, really, until I was in it, working on it as a director. But I think that's the magic of it. It's the action, but it's also the heart of it. And of course, this is a movie that's really built around the relationships that are going to wind up having an impact and define Han Solo's life. It also affects the action, but it's these relationships with this great set of characters that I think is what makes it, you know, entertaining. It gives it that heart, also a lot of the humor.
And it makes you feel like a kid all over again.
Well, that's, you know, fun is the operative word, and we had so much fun making it, and I hope it's a lot of fun watching it. That's certainly our intention.
Well, thank you so much for being here tonight and coming up and talking with us. Congratulations on tonight.
Thanks
it was
so
awesome
much.
Talking to you.
And
I know, they're amazing. And there will be more from the
All right,
Star
let's get the... All right, so we've gotten. I want to stay on here and see if we're going to get Alden Ehrenreich and Donald Glover here.
Yeah,
so we're going to keep going for a few more minutes. Our time is going to run out in 17 minutes, regardless, because that's the way the Blog Talk Radio is. When you set a timer, it takes you through the timer. So we'll see what happens on that. Hopefully, we'll be able to finish this up before, or we'll get Alden Ehrenreich and Donald Glover before that. What did you think about that, Samuel? Ron Howard talking about making this movie, how much fun it was, how different it was being a Star Wars movie than other movies that he made.
I don't see why it isn't a different beast. I mean, it's first off, it's set off in a completely different galaxy, so the rules are different, you know, just right there. But I imagine that it was, like, even more fun to make because he had more wiggle room to do whatever he really wanted with the movie because it's Star Wars, right? You can do basically anything you want. So I imagine that made it a lot more fun. And then he talked about the relationships that are going to define Han, and that's basically what this movie is about. It's just his relationships. I think that's awesome. He's probably, we've all been predicting this for a while, but he's probably going to get betrayed in some way or backstabbed in some way because...
Okay, here we go. Our Anthony Carboni is getting ready to interview Emilia Clarke. Kira.
Oh, what did I do? I got it. I know what I'm doing. I think I started it from the very beginning.
All right, there you go. We're back.
Kira's in the crowd tonight. I feel like last Halloween I saw nothing but Daenerys's, and now it's going to be nothing but Kira's. How does that feel?
It feels pretty amazing. It feels really good, yeah.
It's got to be a little surreal.
Yes, incredibly surreal, especially when they look much better than I did. I mean,
I have to know, you know, Kira has known Han most of his life. Kira is new to us.
Yeah.
What is sort of the relationship between Kira and Han?
Well, I think that it's a pretty special one. Everything about this movie is getting you ready for what you already know, and I think that the way that we get there is pretty... It's satisfying, that's for sure.
Well, I think it's interesting because what little we've seen of Kira in just a couple clips, she seems to have a totally different vibe in every single one. And we know that Kazdins and Ron were really taking a lot of inspiration from a lot of different 70s movies. Was there any kind of genres or characters where you were like, you had them in your head when you were thinking about Kira?
Well, there's a lot of mystique around Kira. There's a lot of, she's a bit of an enigma. So I think I was kind of channeling a lot of the film noir sort of, 70s classic movie to try and get a little mystique going for her.
I feel like it's working from what I've seen. That's great.
Thank you. I tried.
So the other thing I have to know, we've got Gwendolyn Christie, obviously,
yeah.
And now you. Is there anybody in the Game of Thrones cast that's just like, yo, are you going to, like, intro me to the Star Wars people?
Well, I mean, Kit is desperate. You know what I'm saying? That boy just needs to be in Star Wars.
She's like, yo, but seriously, Amelia, what's going on?
Yeah. I think it's yes. Yeah.
And I have to know, like, everybody wants to know Game of Thrones secrets. Does the Game of Thrones cast want to know Star Wars secrets?
Yeah, but because we're all in Spoilerville, everyone's like, so you can't say anything. You obviously got on my dialect.
You have this understanding because you come from that place.
No, exactly. I'm very lucky that I get to have both. I know it all now.
Well, we are very excited to see everything about the mysterious Kira tonight. Thank you so much, Amelia, for dropping by. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
All right, let's see
we have more from the carpet here.
All right. What do you think the story's going to be with Kira, baby Nate?
I don't know. I have the only 70 movie I've really seen and watched a lot is a Star Wars movie, and there wasn't that much mystery in Star Wars, but except for Darth Vader.
Well, what I mean, just in general, the character of Kira. We don't hear about Kira. Obviously, this is being retconned. So this is a story that has been written long after the other movies that came out, the Star Wars movies and things. What do you think is going to happen with Kira? Do you think that she's going to betray Han?
I feel like she could, because if she didn't, you would have seen her with Han Solo in the cantina in episode 4.
All right, looks like we have a caller. Now, I don't know who this caller is. We don't know what they're going to say. We don't know how they're going to say it.
All right.
So if you're a podcast listener, this is a family-friendly podcast. We're hoping that the caller is going to be family-friendly on this. Let's connect them now. Hi, this is Tatooine Sons of Star Wars Podcast. Who is this?
This is Michael Condon.
Hey, Michael, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
We're going to put you on hold for just a second. They're getting ready to interview Alden Ehrenreich. We'll let you listen in, okay?
Certainly.
My first question for you is, did you park that there? Because that's a tollway zone.
Oh, yeah, shoot. You're right. I should. You know what?
You're talking about the Millennium Falcon.
So many things that sounds ridiculous. I hadn't noticed that.
It's blending in very well.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Wow. Hi, there they are.
So Donald said that he watched a lot of 70s movies to get the vibe for this when he got the role. What kind of research did you do to get to the mindset of Han?
Well, you know, the Star Wars universe is such a vast and complex world, and so the main thing was to kind of learn that. But speaking of 70s movies, there's one of my favorite movies growing up was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And that I think this movie has a little bit of the fun of that film.
Now, you had auditioned for this role for almost half a year.
Yeah.
Was there any point in that process where it struck you as like, oh, wow, this is real, like this could be happening?
I think my third screen test, like my third audition when I was actually on the Millennium Falcon was pretty much that. Yeah, and I was with Chewie and everything. I felt it pretty clearly there, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be the most insane moment. So a lot of the directors that you've worked with in the past have praised that you're constantly learning. Coppola called you a total sponge. Ron said you probably read a book a day. What's the one thing that you've learned from Solo, from this movie?
I feel like I learned a lot. You know, I really learned a lot of things. I learned, I think I became a kind of, to do all the stunts and stuff, you have to be a kind of an athlete. So I learned a lot about training and that kind of stuff. And I think also, I don't know if it's learning something, but I walked away with a different feeling of satisfaction. Something so huge means so much. And to kind of, you know, go through that experience is really a wonderful achievement.
Yeah, and you talked to me before about how you recognize the importance of the Star Wars community as being central to the Star Wars experience. What do you want the Star Wars fan community to walk away with from your portrayal of Han?
I hope that they feel the thrill, you know, that I felt watching these movies as a kid. And I think the fun and the thrill of it. I've got my nieces and nephews here tonight, so I think that
that kind of joy where you're just enthralled. I think that's the main thing.
Well, we can't wait to see it. Thank you so much for stopping by. Have an awesome time tonight.
All right, Michael, are you back there?
I'm here.
All right, Michael. So could you hear Alden? I know it may have been hard to hear through that, but could you hear him on there?
Not very well. Okay. It was coming in and out.
All right. So let me kind of recap. First of all, Michael, thank you so much for calling in. You're one of our biggest Chervis fans. So we're excited to have you on here and joining us today on our first ever call-in show. This is kind of fun. So Michael, one of the things that he said, he was talking about the relationship between Lando and Han Solo, and we're going to have to cut it off because in just a second, they're getting ready to interview Donald Glover. So let me move it over to Donald. Hold on.
We'll try and get it a little higher, please.
That's fine.
Slow week for you.
Very slow week, but, you know, hopefully it'll speed up as soon as the, you know, this movie comes out.
Slow week.
So I want to know.
Movie or video for
you talked to Billy D about playing Lando, and basically his advice was like, I walked in and I was Lando.
Yeah.
What do you do after that?
Walk in and be Lando. Yeah. That was all I really could do. So I was very fortunate to actually get that kind of response because it was like, you know, it was like very simple.
Yeah. I feel like in a way it's very Billy D, but it's also very like get you out of your head.
Yeah. I didn't have to overthink it. It was like really nice and just stay cool and have fun with these guys. It was great.
Because I know that you are a big fan, so I have to imagine that when you heard, it was a mix of just like total elation and then total just like, oh my God, I have to do this now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like it took a moment before I kind of was like, oh, I really have to do this. But I called my dad. My dad's like the original Star Wars like buff. So I called him and he was like, you know, he was like, you're going to kill it. So it gave me the strength really to pull it off. So, yeah.
So what is the one best thing now that it's over about playing Lando?
That all those suits are tailored to me. Like all the capes and stuff are tailored to me, so I know that no one else can really wear them.
So when you're walking out, you're just like, nobody can use these, right? I can just
use them.
I can just take.
But also just like, I guess, really honestly, the fans, like it's just been like since the day I was announced, I went and bought a pizza, and at the shop, there was a guy who was like, Lando. And he's like, yeah, like, it was so awesome. I was like, the day it was announced. So I was like, it's really been just being able to interact with the fans.
It's amazing. Now, something I've been wondering since I've seen trailers and clips is, Lando's kind of known as a player and a womanizer a bit, and yet he chooses, at the end of the day, for his closest companion to be a female droid. Let's unpack that.
I think you know, when you're somebody who's on the road a lot, who's just like kind of moving from town to town, you need something honest and stable. And L3 is honest to him. He's the only, almost like the only woman he can't tame. Like almost, he's trying. And she, you know, she's super independent and like very much, and is the only person who's like completely honest with him all the time. And I think he just loves that about her and like misses it in his everyday interaction because he's moving around so much. So it kind of makes sense.
It's amazing. You can tell that you and Phoebe have definitely found that vibe and that flow and that relationship. Obviously, Harrison and Billy D had their own sort of dynamic when they were playing Han and Lando. What did you and Alden kind of find? Like, what is the vibe between the two of you?
Competitive.
Yeah.
Like, it just became competitive. I mean, like, in a good way. Like, you know, we was always competitive about what we wanted to do, but also it was competitive about that. Just like, you know, like, he started taking kickboxing and, like, to get beef up, so I did that. And, like, and then I'd be like, how many reps could he do? And he's like, oh, he could do this. And I try to beat him by at least one.
Y'all are like, just say how many reps you can do on three. 1, 2, 3, 50,
7,000. You know, so, but it's just,
all right.
It was really.
Let's keep this going because we've only got a few minutes left in the show. So, Michael, we're going to let you own the last 5 minutes of the show. We want to know, what is the thing that you're most excited about seeing in Solo, A Star Wars Story?
Chewbacca.
Really?
You know,
awesome.
Just to be, yeah, that is a, you know, that's the thing that I most, that was my favorite character was Chewbacca growing up. You know, I also want to see, you know, a lot of the fanboy things I want to see. I want to see the Kessel run. You know, I want to see the interaction with him and Lando to set up a better base of the story that we see come out in Empire.
Sure. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. You know, they were both Donald Glover and Alden Ehrenreich talked about the relationship between each other and then Han and Lando in this movie. And Alden Ehrenreich talked a lot about, like, the Butch Cassidy Sundance Kid movies, the movie that with Robert Redford and Paul Newman. Have you seen that movie? Are you familiar with that one?
I am familiar with that movie.
Yeah. What do you think about that idea as far as this movie, the relationship between Han and Lando being similar to that relationship?
You know, I'm not really too sure what to think about a lot of things going into this movie because we have no really information except for the few spots that we've seen in the trailers. I don't know if you remember, I went to the trailer premiere preview at Good Morning America the first day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was a big disappointment. It was a big disappointment for me because myself and another person were Star Wars fans, but he was just there as an accident, not for anything to do with Star Wars. But the fandom. It seems like the fandom is very excited about this movie, but I know that according to the stats that Solo has sold more pre-sale tickets than Black Panther, but it also comes down to, you know, I decided to semi-retire and go back to school to start my, careers over, and the majority of the people that I speak with have no idea about this movie, or these are all, college-age students, have no idea about the movie, or don't really know anything about Han Solo except for he shot first. So I think I think that the big thing for this movie is going to be the word of mouth afterwards. The people that go and see it on opening night and the next day, because the marketing of the movie, there really hasn't been anything.
Well, I understand where you're coming from
significant.
On that, Michael. I think that the marketing is starting now. I think that's why they're doing the premiere 2 weeks in advance. I think that's why they're going to release the embargo on reviews starting 10 days before the movie. What that's going to do is it's going to get the buzz going. The Twitterverse and everything else is going to get ramped up. And people are going to start saying, you know what, I want to check out this movie on Memorial Day weekend. I got an extra day off that weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the movies and check this thing out. And I think at the end we're going to find that this is going to be a really fun movie with that. So,
yeah. Oh, I'm
– Go for it.
I'm not worried about this movie doing well. And one of my videos went right after the trailer premiered. You know, I said that it's going to be, come in fourth place money-wise. It's going to be in between The Last Jedi and Rogue One because I don't think that there's anything to worry about with the showing. It's just there's a lot of people that, that don't know about it that I think will go see it. It's just, even though the pre-sale tickets are really high, I don't know, if that's really a good indicator of how the movie's going to do, because I'm going to go see it a couple times the first weekend, Memorial Day. my few dollars. New York City, the tickets are a little bit more expensive. So,
well, we're in California, so we understand exactly what you're talking
about. Oh,
that's
right. About, so. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you so much
for
calling in,
Michael, ticket.
And best of luck on your YouTube channel and you're going back to school. And we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. But thanks for calling in, Michael. Appreciate it so much. May the force be with you, bud.
All right. May the force be with you.
All right. So we've got 50 seconds here. We actually got about 40 because we got to do our outro. Nathan, final thoughts really quick. What do you think about the premiere? So of this, did it make you more excited or about the movie or what?
It just made me feel that this movie is actually real and it's going to come out pretty soon. It kind of just made me realize that it's gonna happen. So,
Samuel Hutt,
I'm super excited and cannot wait for my birthday.
I am going to see The Kessel Run in 2 weeks. I am so pumped about this. Thanks for listening, guys. May the force be with you.
Are you brainless? We'll be right back.
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Yep, yep. I used to be so sure of myself. I was a crispy chicken person. Chicken McNuggets made with all white meat chicken had me from the first bite. But ever since trying McDonald's garlic white cheddar grilled chicken sandwich, I can't stop thinking about the perfectly marinated grilled chicken. Have I become a grilled chicken person?
Enjoy chicken at McDonald's. Whether it's crispy like the buttermilk crispy tenders, grilled in your favorite chicken sandwich, dipped in sauce or not. McDonald's. Chicken how you like it. At participating McDonald's.
We all love a great game, and the best place to catch the game is Buffalo Wild Wings. B-Dubs has your favorite wings, spun in your favorite sauce, but they also just launched a new happy hour and late night special. Celebrate the end of the day or stay out late with the new cheeseburger or chicken tender sliders. That's two cheeseburger or two chicken tender sliders with fries for just $5. This is how we do happy hour and late night for just $5. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.